Welcome back. Episode 31, Get a Grip on Lighting. Hey folks, this is a review episode. Greg and I are going to roll through each one of our podcasts, talk about what we learned and the experiences and just the whole big ride of becoming the number one podcast on Podomatic's technology section. Number 156 overall, Greg?
Yeah, right of that range.
Something like that. That's right. And so, hey, this is a pretty good one. I liked it. I enjoyed doing it with Greg, just reviewing back where we started and what we learned with each show. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, baby, KeystoneTech.com. Greg, what's going on with Keystone these days? We're going to talk about drivers, man?
We're going to talk about drivers because, you know, it's starting to get to the point where there's LEDs that have been in the marketplace for a number of years, and a lot of those LEDs have drivers. The issue is that not all drivers are the same, not even close. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of different drivers, and to figure that out is difficult. So what they've come up with is a programmable driver that they actually have a dial on it, and you can adjust the output current on it and the voltage so that you get the right driver.
Hey, Maddie, throw that website up there for the YouTube watchers. So this thing's programmable. Have you sold any of these yet, Greg?
I think we have maybe one or two, not many, but it's not because a lot of the drivers that are out there should still technically be under warranty, whether they are or not.
Promises.
I'll come back to that. But if you can't find it, a lot of them, you know, are no-name drivers that you can't find. This is a great option for you because you can really dial it into what you need to match what the fixture is requiring and what the chipboard in the fixture is requiring.
Is it universal input voltage as well?
Yeah.
So go to
Keystone Tech. 0 to 10 volt dimming.
Oh man, it's got everything. 0 to 10 volt dimming, universal input voltage, and you can dial up the amps on it, the output amps or milliamps or whatever it is.
Output current, yep.
Output current. Exactly. There it is. So go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. And we also like to thank the official sponsor of this show, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. That's nail.org on information on joining the association or taking some LS1, son. You want to learn about lighting, you got to learn what happened in the past so you don't make the same mistakes in the future. Come on, man. Take yourself some LS1. Don't be afraid to learn. Greg and I like to learn every day, which is why we do this show. Episode 31, Get a Grip on Lighting. Welcome back, yo. It's Greg and Michael from the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Episode 31. You know what? We've kind of hit a milestone here, folks. We were the number one. We're back and forth from number one to number two in the technology section on Podomatic. So Greg and I are pretty proud of that. We went up, I don't know how many spaces, Greg, like thousands?
Yeah, hundreds at least. I mean, we've definitely moved up. And number one was just last month. And like you said, it's been teetering back and forth.
And I think we're overall in the talk section, I think we peaked at 175 or 165 or something like that.
We're at like 150 right now. So
yeah, there you go.
Moving up.
Yeah. So there you go. So the people that walk in those spaces, we'd like to thank all of our listeners for listening and just really pulling us to the top of the podcast heap. And definitely the world's number one lighting podcast is the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, hosted by Michael Colligan and Greg Eric. So we thought what we'd do is we'd kind of do a quick recap of each episode and talk about a little bit about what we learned and what we, you know, and you know, how we felt after each show. So I'm going to start with number one. When, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I called up Jason Bader and rented out a sound studio and said, hey, I want to do a podcast, Jason. You want to come on the show? And that was episode one, and we talked about inventory management. And I remember talking to him and hearing the sound and being recorded and being so nervous. That was my number one reaction in that podcast, was like being nervous.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that Jason talked about, I already sort of knew myself already about, you know, the declining price of LEDs and all that kind of stuff and how hanging on to stock, it's kind of like a hot potato. But more importantly, I remember it was my first podcast and I was alone and I was like, what am I doing? Am I, can I do this? And I remember hating the sound of my own voice. So, I mean, that was the first one. The second one, I brought you on. And do you remember that show?
For the DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, DLC with Brady Neiman.
Do you remember all the problems we had getting the Skype set up and all that? Do you remember
it
all that?
It took a while, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to do it over Skype and figure it all out. And we brought on Nemeth, and he kind of clarified a few things for us, but I don't think he answered a ton of questions about the DLC in terms of our, you know, sort of its adversity and the compliance fatigue in the industry. Then we interviewed you, Greg, on show number 3.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I learned is that I can actually talk about myself for 34 minutes with you in the room.
Yeah, there you go. I actually let you talk a little bit on that one, eh? But you know what was funny about...
You.
Yeah, you know what was funny about that one? It was supposed to be about us, but it just somehow became about you. Do you remember that? You took it over.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just kind of started it and then dove in and we kept going with it.
Do you know this is our first podcast, just me and you, since that podcast?
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? Yeah. Every other one has had a guest.
You know, and the next one, Spencer Miles, that was one that even to this day, the Spencer Miles podcast number 4 is, I think, one of our best. It starts really slow. Yeah. That's the problem with it. But we talked a lot, like for lighting distributors, I think if you're out there listening, if you're a lighting distributor, I think number 4 is a really good one for you. And then number 5 is when we chicken-holed Robin Watt into sponsoring the show. I don't know if you remember that. I asked
that was
live.
Live at Nail, or at the Light Fair.
Yeah,
that was the first live one we did.
Yeah, it was my first time that I was legally working in the United States. That was the first time I ever did that, right?
Yeah.
And then our breakthrough episode. Tell me about episode 6, Greg.
Yeah, so, that's when we met with Randy Reed and someone that, I knew a little bit about, really not a lot, but knew the Edison report and have looked at it and get a lot of news from that. And then, what I found out just from talking to him was a lot. And he's really the go-to news source I see in the industry because he's been in it so long and he knows so many people that he really breaks stories and has a good feel and a good grasp on where it is. And he's helping us get a grip, on what's going on in lighting.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, what Randy kind of took us to another level. It took us to that more elite level of the lighting business. And after we brought on Randy, it was really easy to get number 7, which was another huge episode for us, which was the DLC executive director, Christina Halfpenny. That was a good show.
Yeah, that definitely was. There's a lot of questions about DLC, and there still are, but, we actually went to the show that was out in Portland and sat down with her and had the meeting and the discussion, and it was good. It really got a better understanding on what DLC is all about, and I felt good leaving that we had a good message out there on them.
I think what came out of the DLC thing for me is that they're doing their best to serve the industry, but it's almost like they act like a government. There's no competition to them, so they're not being sharpened like we are in the field through competitive forces. I mean, they're kind of on their own. They get to do whatever they want, right? And I think that having a competitor is what really makes you elite and swift and slick. And I think the DLC from that, I think the DLC lacks a competitor in that space. And I think that's what I learned there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then Mark Lean, same show, Future of Lighting. What do you think about our show with Mark?
Yeah, Mark's great. I've listened to a number of his presentations and then met with him in person. And he's really futuristic looking. And that's what a lot of our podcast is about, is looking at what's coming next. And he did a good job of explaining that. But at the same time, also bringing it back and really defining the importance of quality lighting, making sure that still matters in the future. And I think that's something I'm going to, live by and make sure we stand by, because that's what really keeps us as lighting distributors relevant.
I think that a lot of the industry is looking like we were racing as fast as we could to get as many rebates and get as many LEDs into sockets and to fixtures out there as we possibly could in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years now. And I think the industry, and I think Mark was one of the guys that kind of stepped back and said, what are we doing here? What about quality of light? We've abandoned like all the principles of it, all sorts of mistakes that had happened and that we had solved in fluorescent and HID technologies had reemerged in lighting. And it was time for the industry to step back and focus on quality and that. And I think that was what I learned from Mark Lean. And that's a great segue into, episode number 9 on LED flicker with Dr. Arnold Wilkins.
And hearing that discussion, it really makes you think twice about what you have been doing and what you're going to do in the future, because flicker is a major issue with LED products, not all LED products, but some of them. And it's really something you have to factor in when you're making your decision on what to specify for an end user.
You know, I mean, you know, if it's some corridor hallway in the basement of a commercial building, flicker, no flicker, I don't think it really matters if you're pushing a pump truck through it twice a day. But in a classroom, in certain applications, you really don't want those lights flickering. It's where people have to sit in an office all day or in a classroom all day. I think you know, there's applications where it really matters. It would be the best. Would have been better if the industry had a thought this through at the beginning. But
I agree.
what was it? Karl Marx says the past repeats itself first as farce, then as tragedy. So I think that's what happened to the lighting industry right there. And then what do? We flew to Chicago, and again, I began my illegal working in the United States with an interview of Bill Brown in Chicago.
Very impressive, man. That guy's done it all.
You know what? It was
He's
an
been at
interesting.
it for,
Yeah, go ahead.
yeah. Oh, just the fact that, you know, what I learned from him is just that how much drive and dedication he's had, and how many years he's been in it, and how he's still in it. You know, he's still active in it. I mean, not as much as he used to be, but he's still in it. He seems to love it. Great company that he has set up. So that was one of our best ones too, I thought,
You
hearing
know, I
from him.
think what's interesting about Bill Brown is that the idea of sales agencies, you know, not holding the inventory but selling it. That's interesting, dude. You know, it's
You're
like
right.
you don't have to buy the inventory and sit on it in a warehouse. You can just go out and sell it for people and make a lot of money. He's got a huge company, man. I didn't realize how big Bill Brown sales is, dude. That's a monster beast. Like, it
We kept
really
seeing it
is.
at Light Fair and previous years and all these different companies affiliated with it, not really understanding what it meant. I still don't fully get it, but I appreciate him and what he's done in the industry for sure.
Well, he's got a combination of things. So he serves a bunch of clients and he reps a bunch of brands. And I think what happens is sometimes he buys the factory that does it, and other times if he sees a gap in the industry and he can't fill it with his line card, he makes it. That's why he's got all those factories. That's what ALP is about, right? So it, you know, he just like he's looking at the business from a very high level and just running through the seams of it. And he's getting a piece of the action. Really, really smart guy, man. And I love the fact that so many people on this podcast that have come on are either scientists or salespeople. I love that, man.
Definitely.
You know, it's
Makes it
really,
keeps it
really cool,
interesting,
for sure.
for sure.
Lighting controls with Jim Benya. I mean, Jim's a legend. You know, I think that he's realistic though with the, you know, lighting controls, and I think he brought some brevity to the conversation. He, you know, said some things that I think were important, but controls is such a developing thing right now that I don't think that was a definitive podcast. Do you?
Not necessarily definitive. I did get out of them though that lighting controls can be simple. We don't have to. I know we talk a lot about it, the difficulties in the lighting control space right now, but it can be simple. I think sometimes you can overthink it, and that's what I understood from him or learned from him is that don't always overthink it, but consider it for all applications.
I thought you learned that from me.
Maybe it's you. It's been 30 of them, and I talk to you so dang much. I don't know.
Then we brought Jason Bader back on when we were in Portland, and we chatted to him again about inventory management. Believe it or not, you know, his, you know, those inventory management podcasts, they're not that interesting to me because I'm more interested in sales and science, kind of lighting, the science of lighting and selling lighting. But those are really, if you look at Podomatic and you look at the stats, those are popular podcasts, dude. People listen to them. So if you're
It's
into
because
inventory
money
management,
matters.
money
And
matters. There you
yeah,
go.
and that's what he says is all your money is tied up in inventory. You really need to manage it appropriately. And I think they are both episodes that we did with him were good to really get a good understanding of that and how to manage it better.
So what are your thoughts on POE? I'll let you go first. On episode
I
13
think
with
it's a
Wendell Strong. Yeah.
developing technology, something to keep an eye on. I don't know that it's going to take over everything like you know, some companies are thinking it will. I think there's, you know, definitely some interest in it, and it's a real technology, I guess, is what I got out of that podcast. Whether it's going to be implemented on a mass scale is another question I have. I don't know.
I think
How
it
about you?
encapsulates all the worst qualities of the LED business and all of the best qualities of the control business. So it's like the worst part about LED and that you can't replace the parts. Maybe they're incompatible. And then, stuff like that, that you have issues with purpose-built LED fixtures and communicating with each other and all. But then it's also the best for that deep control. The question is, how many applications actually need that level of control? That would be my concern with it. Like, do you really need to have that much access to a light fixture?
Right, to be determined.
I know, it's like that's really that PoE stuff is really deep. Where are you at with horticultural, Greg?
I haven't done anything on my end for my company, but it's something that definitely is interesting. And they talk about the growth and the potential in the marketplace. It seems hard for a distributor to get involved in that market. I think it's going to be a lot of these companies coming kind of direct and. Whether they work with a distributor or not, I don't know how that's going to work. But, in talking with Dave Inman on that one, I really just it reiterates that lighting can do more now than just light a space. It actually can help you grow plants. And in his case, a lot of it's cannabis, but in their company's case, that's where a lot of the market growth is. But yeah, it's just something to keep an eye on too.
So our most commented on episode 15, the Lighting Health Effects with Greg Yeader. It's the most commented podcast on our website. And all the comments are, and this is for all the listeners out there, why were you so condescending to Greg? Why were you Greg Yeader and all that sort of stuff? And hey, look, I think Greg Yeader's a smart guy. He's a young guy. He's a lighting commentator. He's not a scientist. And I think he kind of swam in deep waters with us, Greg, a little bit, and he maybe wasn't ready for it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just something that, we hear so much of it being talked about, the health effects of lighting. And that was our first discussion on it. And, he's new to it too. We're all new and we're all trying to figure it out. So I don't think anything we meant to do was to condescend or, put him down it by any means. I think he did a good job of explaining it. We just don't have the full picture at that point.
And we got a better picture on episode 16 with Dr. Mariana Figuero. And
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
straightened out a lot of things that, hey, a lot of this isn't science yet. A lot of it's speculation. And that's where I feel like the health effects of lighting are. I'm not sure if certain companies have done their own research and have, they're not scientists, they're corporations that employ scientists. So they want to keep that data secret of how they're doing it. They don't want other companies to be able to replicate their results.
Right.
So maybe there is some manufacturers out there that can seriously prove certain things, but I think most of the people, like the on the cannabis side with the horticultural, I think most people are making to a certain spec that people believe will improve your health. Is that safe?
I think that's safe as of now. As studies come out, it can get proven. She did point out certain segments of the population that healthy lighting can definitely benefit with the Alzheimer's patients and things like that, where they and it can actually be done in a somewhat practical manner now that's out there with color tuning, things along that line. So, but yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely the developing technology, something that can't be proven yet, but another one to always see, keep our eye on and see what's
I'm not
going
sure
on with that.
I'm not sure the mass adoption by, like, say, schools or hospitals of lighting that improves human health outcomes is ready for prime time right now. I still think we're in a beta version of that. And I think most people would agree with me on that, where it's like, okay, yeah, we can try something. Let's give it some time and test it. But I don't think anyone's really, really ready to say, yes, it's time for us to do this. And here's why. I think everybody's kind of speculating.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And one of the things I learned from that, and maybe I haven't even told you this yet, but we're going to retrofit our whole office and I'm going to put in color tuning lights and test out the health benefits. So I'll be a subject under this.
So you're going to be a lot fresher.
We'll see.
Then we had the controversial name, number 17, IES Relevance with Tom Butters. Yeah, that we got a lot of flack for that name, eh? Oh, you're biting your lip, eh,
But I
Greggy?
think it. Yeah, well, just because we didn't mean it to come across that. What we meant is that IES is relevant. And I think that's what we really got out of talking with Tom Butters. It says right on their website they're the lighting authority. I still feel that personally. I think they do a good job of educating, lobbying for lighting, doing standards and things that are needed right now, especially more than ever. So I still feel that they're very relevant, and I thought the title was accurate.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, I think if you listen to the show, I mean, was it a little bit salacious of us to call it IES Relevance? Well, we are looking for listeners.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So, and then, thanks to, this podcast, largely thanks to our sponsors, but a particularly, committed sponsors, Keystone Technologies. And we were really, really happy to have, oh my gosh, the name is, I'm missing the name here for a second. Ira
Sorry, Ira
Greenberg. Ira
Greenberg. Yeah.
Greenberg, sure. I mean, he did great. You know what? He's come a, like when I met him, I think 5 or 6 years ago, I think he was a little bit uncertain with lighting and he was sort of quiet and he was observing and learning. I think he's come so far, dude. He's taken that company so far. It's really unbelievable, actually, what they've been able to do.
Yeah, they've grown tremendously, and we've known those guys over a number of years and seen their growth, and really attributes to their culture, it sounded like. And that's what I got out of that podcast, is that they keep their work environment fun, they keep people going there, they get hire the right people, and with that you can really grow a company and do a good job of that.
And I think the other thing too is their focus on sales and customer service. That's what I love on this show is our focus on sales, but Keystone really is service driven and, focused on their partners, their distributor partners. A lot of manufacturers talk about the partnership, but they don't deliver on it. What that means for them is we get to charge you more than you can pay elsewhere.
Right.
Like that's what they mean when they say
Yeah.
partnership.
Yep. And Keystone, from my own experience, is truly a partner. They really work with you and make sure you get what you need when you need it, at the right price too, and the service to back it.
Yeah, and I think they're a model if you want to grow in this business. Keystone's a model for other manufacturers. Back to horticultural lighting,
Definitely.
Number 19 with Dave Myers. Was that his name? Dave Myers? Is that his name? Andrew Myers.
Andrew Myers, I think,
Andrew
yeah.
Meyer, yeah. Sorry, Andrew. But there's
That's
30.
all
This is a body of work we're doing here. We're going through here. Yeah, you know
right.
what? It's hard for distributors like us to get into the horticultural game because it's such an engineered spec thing. And once you have that engineer spec thing, what do you need the distributor for?
Yeah. That's how I felt too. I did, hear from him on the technology and the proven science they do have though behind LED, and it sounds like, truly LED is the best light source for plant growth. At least from what we heard from him.
It's looking
Whether
that
it's
way.
totally proven, I don't know, but
It's
it does
looking
look
that
that way.
way. It would be nice if we could get a guy on, forget about a lighting guy. Get a guy who's like the general manager of a commercial cannabis operation.
That sounds
Episode
like episode
35.
37 or
Yeah,
so.
so yeah, I think we're gonna
I
do
think
that
we've
for
got a few in
sure.
the works, so
Yeah.
definitely.
And then tax deductions. That's one's so popular, dude. A lot of people want to figure out that out.
Yeah, well, I think it's something that it's adding another trick to your bag in essential when you're selling a lighting project. There's tax deductions out there. They are confusing to figure out, but they don't have to be. And there are partners you can work with, and it should be something you consider anytime you put together a proposal. So I think, hearing from them, it really made sense.
After that podcast, I'm not US centric, but after that podcast, I think it's you're talking to your customer about, okay, can you get a rebate? Can you get a tax deduction? And
Yeah.
that's it for me after that one. And then, we rolled in hot, buddy, right into Frankfurt. And
Right on time.
yeah, we met up with our old buddy Randy Reed again, and this is when we really started to get momentum. We started releasing on a regular, more regular basis. And Randy, that was a really good conversation. We went through so many topics, dude. We couldn't even name the episode because there was so many things we covered in that one.
Yeah, no, it was another great discussion. Anytime we talk with him, and he brought it up, he said, maybe it's too soon. I did one, and then we looked at it, and we said, it's been a year. It's time to talk again, and it's something that a lot happens in a year, and it could be something we have him on even more frequently than that. We have to work that out. But he had in his booth, we actually were live in his booth at Frankfurt, he had that Li-Fi fixture. And I think that's where that term really stuck with me. And it's something that you don't even know, but we have one coming up on with a Li-Fi person. So we're going to schedule that in the next couple of weeks to really dive deep into that technology.
Well, that's when the Matrix came out, right? So that's when the Matrix, people think, some people think I'm crazy, but it's a super popular topic with the listeners of the show, is that Matrix and the surveillance and all that sort of thing. And the promises, man. That came out in that pod, raising the dark curtain on the manufacturer's warranties. Oh man. So that was a good one. And then we entered the Matrix with Dan Ryan. We had him on, and we really discussed it from a Silicon Valley perspective, because Dan's more of a Silicon Valley. He's a lighting guy, but he's more of a Silicon Valley kind of guy. And we got into that Matrix topic pretty deep with him, and he thought I was crazy until the show was over, and he thought about it for a bit. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. And I thought you were too until I stopped and reflected and listened back to it. And you talked about walking through the light,
The
the
Matrix.
technology, walking through the matrix. And that's where that whole term, really developed even further. And it's interesting what lighting can do. And kind of hearing it from that Silicon Valley standpoint is totally different than how all lighting manufacturers have been in the past. But it's showing you where the future might go to.
And then we got pragmatic again with Randy Johnson, who's really, he's like a lighting guru, dude.
Absolutely. He's one of the guys we've known over the years at nailed conventions, and somebody I'm always willing to listen to and learn from, because he's super professional, knows lighting, as good or better than anybody, and knows how to sell it. He talked about adding value, and what's better than that? Because when you add value, you can usually get a price tag for that. And if you don't have value in lighting, then it comes down to price is really the only thing. So he taught us in that podcast a lot about adding value and bringing more to the customer than just a price.
It's funny about Randy. I remember he was talking to us before. He's like, "I'm not sure what we're going to talk about." And then I said, "Well, Randy, we're just going to flick the lighting talk switch on your back,
Yeah.
and you're going to roll."
That's all it took. Yep. And sure
So,
enough, what did he do? He
yeah,
rolled.
boom, and then rolling right after that. A good segue to that one was, Paul Hafner, who's had such an impact on you and I, and then of course on Nailed, and the developer of LS1 and LS2. And again, not so much of, he talks about value-added selling, but I think what he really does is makes people want to be lighting professionals.
Yes, I think that's a very key point. He's someone that we've looked up to, and we've known since we've been really in the industry. I actually thought he was Nailed when I first started. It took me 2 years to figure out that he was a consultant for Nailed. But he's one that really, drove home education, the importance of it, and then also that value pyramid. I thought that was a great point he made, and hearing more about that. And he also ended our podcast for us, which I thought was awesome.
Now, it's the first time anyone did that, but you know what I think it was? I think it was Paul Hafner saying, "Call again. I'm going to end your podcast, you sucker." So
Good.
that's a good place to stop, call again. So
Yep.
yeah, then we rolled with David Nathaniel, who was our first video in studio guest, which was kind of fun. He
Yeah,
talked
no, I thought
about.
that was good. He what I you know what I took from him is the manufacturer standpoint on some of the same pains and issues we're going through. So we hear about it, from our standpoint, and say, oh, I have the stock of these products that I'm not going to sell, and we have this inventory. We're talking in hundreds and thousands of dollars. He's talking in hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars of inventory that can go obsolete, that he has to keep up with it, and they have to manage. And so you see the pain points from the manufacturers and all the new advancements and technologies.
Yeah, he's a really gracious guy. I'm glad he came on the show. What's funny is that going into episode 26, the Jaga Consortium, I didn't even know what it was until you emailed me and said, "Hey, we're going to bring this guy on the show."
Yeah.
And
It's something I heard about in previous years through GE mainly, said they had Zaga compliant fixtures. So I had to look up what Zaga was, and I still didn't quite get it until after the show, and thought that was a real good one. And I think what they have going is the right idea, and you summed it up best. So let's kick it back to you.
So yeah, I mean, I think what's going on with Jaga is, if they can do it, it's a huge mountain in front of them, really, and the mountain's called China.
Yeah.
And
Right.
so, but from that perspective, I think he's right. Like sometimes form, like limiting the form factors gives you an opportunity to spend time on places where you actually add value. Whether a fixture is like, does a 4 foot fluorescent tube, a 4 foot fluorescent tube matter if it's 47 and a quarter or 48 and a half or 46 and a half? They can drive the lumens out of that no matter what. The fact that all of them are 48 inches made it really easy for LED technology to fit in those place, those sockets, and gave it the scope it needed to expand and grow.
Yep.
So I think it's a right point. I think it's a good idea. They got to climb the China mountain.
Yeah.
27 with Corey Schneider. Man, that guy's the best at with the LS1 training, eh?
Yeah, and then he really hit home the point again on what this podcast is about too, is about educating ourselves, educating the industry on what's out there, and also educating the importance of educating your staff on what it used to be and what it is and what to look for. And he does the best job of anybody we know on really bringing in new people to learn about lighting in a quick manner. And he dives into those LS training programs through Nailed, which we both feel is the best training source out there. And he takes it to another level.
Yeah, he really does. Lasers, come on, man. Give me your laser speech.
Well, LED is not the only light source out there. I think, hearing from that, it's something that I remember seeing a laser a couple of years ago at Light Fair and, kind of getting excited about it, but I never really saw where it was going to go. And until this podcast that we had with them, now we can actually see it more again in a practical manner where it can be implemented potentially in fixtures in the future and really fill that space that LED has missed in terms of accuracy of light or pinpointing certain light on, certain subjects and things. So I think it's a very viable source and something to keep our eye on as well as laser lighting.
You know, I think it's a very popular episode too in our analytics. I think a lot of manufacturers are listening to it actually and hearing about
Yeah.
laser. From my perspective, I know some of my employees, to go back to the education thing, some of my employees are driving around and going home and watching it on YouTube, watching the show on YouTube and talking to their hey, you know what? There's going to be lasers coming out at some point, and people are getting excited about it. They know that LED has limitations now. I think one of the things that I saw that kind of went and then it didn't work out was that light emitting plasma. I don't know if you remember
Yeah,
that. It
I do.
was
Yep.
small enough that I thought you could build some reflectors around it, but laser just takes that and destroys that technology. It's way more accurate, and I think it's got an interesting future in this business. What about the Renaissance man?
You know what? What I really took out of it was a good story. He's been in lighting for 50 some years, and he's as excited or more than ex excited about the future than anybody I know. And that's positive. It's good to hear some positive because a lot of people are, wondering about, well, what's going to happen next? And he's saying, hey, be ready for what's next and be excited about it.
Yeah, and I mean, we grappled with him a little bit. We almost named the show Grappling with a Legend. I don't know if you remember that back and forth, and we went with Renaissance Man
Yeah.
because, well, we'll let other people decide who won the grappling. But, I argued with him a little bit in terms of I challenged him a little bit on some of his stances. But man, that you can tell that that guy's passionate about the business. You can see why he would be an excellent sales manager. You can see why he would be an excellent executive and why he's been so successful because he's just passionate about it, and that just comes out in his when he it's he's got a switch on his back for the business of lighting. You know?
Yeah.
He really
Yep.
does.
He dives right in and gets after it. It's good.
For sure. And it was nice to have Pierre on to talk about Lux as a Service from Spark Fund. I think I was very suspicious of Lux as a Service, as the listeners to this show know. If you've listened to these episodes, I've always been sort of hesitant. I think he convinced us that there is a certain percentage of the market that are going to want this.
Yeah, he had some proof on certain jobs that they've done, and really what I took out of this, and this is our most recent one, is that there are new players in the marketplace. These guys had, didn't really know lighting or have any lighting background, but they're out there selling the same type of lighting projects we're hoping to sell in a new creative manner.
Yeah, I don't like those guys.
Got to be aware of them though, or become one.
Yeah, well, how does a distributor get a piece of that action? It seems like this is why, and maybe we're getting into our next episode here, so maybe we should cut it off because, you know, then we wanted to talk about something else. So should we just keep it rolling right now, Greg? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you can dive into a little bit. Let's go.
So this is, we wanted to talk about, what do you hate about lighting? I mean, one of the things that's really driving me crazy about lighting right now and really getting me upset, not upset the right way, but like making me go, man, as soon as I think I got something figured out, everything changes.
Yeah. And this is one that is a major change. If it ever goes, if everybody adopts this model, it's a, you know, a total change, 180 degree.
Well, you're basically working for Peer then. Hey, Peer, can I get a deal over here? I need to sell some
light bulbs for me.
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, don't worry. I'll pay you. But you know, so when he was talking about his buying power, what was interesting was that he's not talking about his buying power on the products. He's talking about his buying power amongst distributors. That's what he was talking about. I don't think he even knew that. But when I reflected on what I learned from the episode, he's not talking about, oh, I buy more, you know, LED T8 tubes than you, call again, I got a better price. I got 10 cents cheaper. Or whatever. What he's talking about is if we go to a large chain of old retirement homes, and there's 400 of them in the state of Massachusetts or whatever, and we're going to retrofit all of them, we're going to turn around and take all that business and bid it out to the local contractors in that area. And that's going to eat our cake a lot, dude.
It is, for sure. Something we got to think about and be ready for, though, definitely.
Keep call your banker. It. Call your banker, man.
But or get more money.
Dude, it's like I'm an entrepreneur. I have other businesses, and they're so simple compared to lighting, dude.
Yeah. Lighting's a confusing space to be in.
Yeah,
and it continues to be even more so.
And it's not as profitable as it used to be. It's a big friggin' price war on top of everything.
Yeah. Well, you can save that for another time.
All right. Well, thank you. That's episode 31. That was a recap of our last 30 episodes. You know, I'm really, you know, just to thank all the listeners out there and to thank you, Greg, for partnering with me on this and all of our sponsors and the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. When I looked at that number one on Podomatic, man, when I looked at that thing on that, I just felt to myself like, man, that's crazy cool, man. How did we do this? We started a year and a half ago with a dollar and a dream, and number one in that space. Now, it's not a big deal. It's not iTunes. You know what I mean? But I don't really know what it means, Greg, because I don't do much of the analytics, but it means something, man.
It does, yeah. And, you know, a lot of this, you know, you thank me. I thank you for having the vision to do this. I think it's a great source for everybody in the lighting industry to really get a good knowledge and including ourselves. And that's why we do this, is to talk about what's relevant and what, you know, what we need to be ready for. So let's, here's to 30 more at least.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I'd say the person that has learned the most is me in doing this show. And so I thank all the guests that have been so gracious with their time to come on and help us start this and really become the world's number one lighting podcast, at least in the English language. So thanks for everybody, listeners, sponsors, guests, and Greg, Eric, and my producers, and everybody that in my office that put up with all the craziness when we started this show. Episode 31, Get a Grip on Lighting. Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, baby, KeystoneTech.com. We're talking programmable drivers with Greg, Eric. Greg, tell me a little bit about these programmable drivers Keystone has.
Well, they actually have a little speed dial, they call it, right on the driver. And that speed dial lets you adjust the output current. And why do they do that? Because there's so many different drivers out in the marketplace, and it's very difficult to find replacement drivers. So they've made it easy so that they can actually do a programmable, tunable LED driver that can work for, you know, hundreds of thousands of different fixtures. All you have to do is dial it to what you need, and it will perform the way you need it to. So great option for LED drivers from Keystone, definitely.
Universal input voltage?
And unit 120, 277 volt, and a 0 to 10 volt dimming. It's got everything you need.
Ooh, that's a swanky little product. It's a swanky product they got there. So go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. KeystoneTech.com. And this episode of the podcast and every one of these shows we do is the official podcast of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to naild.org, that's nailed.org, for information on joining it, joining us, joining Greg and I. It's ours. We own Nailed. No, joining the club. It's a club of lighting dorks that hang out like a Star Trek convention, and we talk about light bulbs all day at the convention. But also, we learn a lot. We have a lot of great speakers at the convention. Come on down. Hang out with us, man. Take some LS1. Take some LS2, man. Is there a better path to getting your LC than LS1, LS2?
That is the best by far. I mean, other than experience in the field. So you do that in concurrently with those tests. But yeah, you do the LS1, you do the LS2. You study for the LC. I did an LC prep course. I think that's necessary. And then you go take it. Knock it out, and then you're LC for life.
And hey, we'd like to thank everybody that's supported this show. This was a review show. Greg and I looking at our body of work, really stepping back from it and saying, whoa, I can't believe we've done 30 episodes already. It seems like it went by like that, did it not?
It did, super quick, and it continues to go by. We're keeping recording one a week, and we got a lot in the works.
Number one on Podomatic, baby. We're going back. Number one on Podomatic. We're coming for you again. Soon we're going to be, we're the number one podcast on lighting in the world. That's for sure. So you go to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast at getagriponlighting.com. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to our sponsors for a great ride.
There'll be no redemption day. There'll be no redemption day. In a cabin far from all, immersed in alcohol, the devil appears like a snake in the Garden of Eden. It's